Welcome to the Center for American Progress conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Mr. Rollin, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jason Rollin. I'll be the moderator for today's press call. Before we get started, for all media inquiries after the call, you can reach me at 202-481-8132 and by email at jrahlan@americanprogress.org. Joining us this morning are three experts in the area, the Reverend Dennis Wiley, pastor of the Covenant Baptist Church here in Washington, D.C., Sam Fullwood, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and Jeff Creeley, director of CAP's LGBT Research and Communications Project. Jeff will discuss his new report, Time to Stop the Lies, Countering Bishop Henry Jackson's Gay Marriage Distortion. The format for the call is as follows. Each speaker will provide 3 to 5 minutes of remarks, and then we'll open the floor for a question and answer period. And with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jeff Creeley. Jeff.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Watching this the same-sex marriage debate over the course of the past several months, really, it's been a big concern for me that Bishop Jackson and the opposition in general has not really been willing to engage in a fact-based debate about same-sex couples in the District of Columbia. You know, if this is as important of a policy issue as the opposition is really making it out to be, then it deserves an honest and healthy debate. But unfortunately, a lot of the folks who are opposed to marriage equality are mainly interested in really kind of scaring people and, you know, more or less raising money for their own organizations. And while the D.C. Council was considering the bill, you know, there doesn't seem to be much interest in really having a fact-based dialogue. So I'm hoping that my report can inject some facts into this debate. You know, one of the big concerns for me is that same-sex couples in Washington, D.C. have been more or less portrayed by opponents to marriage equality as this singular group of wealthy white individuals. And if you look at data from the Census Bureau, you see that that's really just not the case. First of all, we find that about a third, at least a third, of same-sex couples in the District of Columbia are actually people of color. African Americans make up more than a quarter of these couples. So, you know, this whole idea that it's a white privilege base is really just not true. Further, men in same-sex couples in D.C. earn about $67,000 on average each year, compared to men in married heterosexual couples who earn $70,000 each year. So there's a $3,000 difference there. And for women, we see a similar gap in incomes between women in same-sex couples and women in heterosexual married couples. So the facts actually say that same-sex couples aren't privileged and they're not largely white. So it's just plain wrong to say that this is a pet project of that group of people. You know, also, you have to keep in mind that the same-sex couples have been portrayed as living in, you know, one part of the district, moving into all these new condos, as Bishop Harry Jackson has said in a couple of comments. But again, when we look at where people actually live, they're in every part of the district, all wards, northwest, southwest, northeast, southeast. Same-sex couples, you know, really inhabit the entire district. Another concern, too, is that, you know, Jackson and the opposition has basically claimed that all Christians are against marriage equality. And, you know, that's blatantly and clearly false. And Reverend Wiley especially will have something to say about that as we move through our call here. Another fact, as we're looking at the current state of the economy, record high unemployment rates in the district, expanding offering marriage rights to same-sex couples will actually be very good for the district's overall economy. It's been estimated that doing so will generate about $52 million for the district overall in the next 3 years and could generate upwards of 700 new jobs during that time as well, bringing in an additional $5 million in sales and hotel tax revenues and other related revenue. So, you know, finally, I would kind of like to wrap up my statements before turning over to Sam here by pointing out that the D.C. Council has had several hearings on the marriage equality bill, was very open about allowing the district's residents to voice their concerns on the matter. 173 people testified in favor of marriage equality, including Reverend Wiley and many other faith leaders. Only 37 people testified against marriage. An overwhelming majority of the council members support the bill, as does Mayor Fenty. So from where I'm sitting, Jackson, you know, has really failed to win support for his position. It's been a very open, democratic process, even though it hasn't been necessarily a fact-based process. So at this point, you know, I think it's time for this provision to be passed and put into place, and for the district to move on and return to other very serious matters at hand, such as the economy, unemployment, and other matters. Sam?
From my point of view, I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the black church and the role that it has sort of been seen to play in this whole debate over gay marriage, which I think is sort of a distortion of the historic role that black churches have played in civil rights issues throughout our history. To hear the opponents of gay marriage speak, one would think that the black church is a monolith that is completely compelled by its faith to oppose on moral grounds gay marriage. And while there are many voices within black churches that share that view, I don't know that that's universal. I don't know that that's universally shared. I happen to think that those who are most vociferous in that point of view happen to be on the wrong side of history and on the wrong side of civil rights. If we think back 100 years or maybe even as recently as 50 years, opponents to civil rights for African Americans in this country used the church and selected scriptures to be able to buttress their arguments for the disparate treatment of descendants of slaves in this country. Those very same arguments are being used in many cases to buttress arguments against extending equality rights to gay couples. And I think that it's really odd that that black churches, black pastors would not recognize the parallel between civil rights and moral rights in this particular case, even in keeping with their theological beliefs. Often those beliefs can be at odds with what popular culture may be speaking. So when we think about that, that's really what we saw through the civil rights movement. Dr. King talked often about how he was disappointed that he didn't get more support from white churches for the moral-based arguments for ending segregation. I think it's kind of odd that we are seeing just sort of the flip of that now. There's an effort, I think, on the part of opponents to gay rights to racialize this argument by making it appear to be something that is only of, as Jeff mentioned, a elite small segment of whites, white males in particular, that are pressing their demands onto an unwilling majority of Americans. To be able to make arguments that somehow or another it's a zero-sum proposition, that by granting marriage equality rights, poorer black people will suffer. And I just don't understand how that argument holds water. And I think that much of the points that Jeff makes in his paper buttresses the argument that just does not make sense. In no way is a poor single mother who lives in Anacostia disadvantaged by two women or two men who choose to get married. In fact, in some ways, she may be advantaged. Particularly, she would be advantaged if she happens to be a lesbian herself. And that argument doesn't seem to hold. There's this sense that that black Americans are not gay, and that by racializing the argument to say that this is only a small segment of elite whites denies the existence that everybody, in particular people in the church, know to be in contradiction with the reality of the world. And I think that needs to be pointed out as we examine this issue.
All right. This is Reverend Dennis Wiley, and I'll be making some points from a practical perspective that in many ways reinforce what has already been said by Jeff and by Sam. I pastor the Covenant Baptist Church in Ward 8 in the District of Columbia, which is the poorest ward in the city, and I am the co-chair of D.C. Clergy United for Marriage Equality. As an African-American, heterosexual, male, Christian minister, I am in full support of marriage equality for the District of Columbia. And I support it because not because it is safe or politic or popular to do so, but because I believe it is right. I believe it is theologically right because we are all created equal in the image of God. I believe it is historically right because those of us who have been the victims of oppression ought to be the last ones, in my opinion, to oppress anybody else. It is morally right because I believe that all of God's children should be able to live the truth rather than be forced to perpetrate a lie. And it is legally right because same-sex persons are entitled to the same rights and protections under the law as any other persons. And the black church and the black community, as Sam has said, have been characterized by some, and even as Jeff has said as well, as being united in opposition against same-sex marriage. And again, this could not be further from the truth. Black people are not monolithic. We are diverse, just like all other human beings. And in the immortal words of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., many of us believe that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Speaking from a very practical perspective, and I'm not speaking theoretically because in my church we have opened our doors, we are welcoming and affirming congregation, African-American, black congregation, sitting in the poorest ward of the District of Columbia. And we have found that we offer a, because of that, I'm able to offer a unique perspective on the implications of marriage equality based, again, not on theory but practice, and not on speculation but firsthand experience. First, I can attest that same-sex marriage is not simply a white issue from experience. It is also a black issue. Countless same-sex couples have expressed a deep appreciation in our church, and even those outside of our church have expressed the same appreciation for our policy of acceptance, and some have even testified, those who have become a member of our fellowship, that our inclusive ministry has literally saved their lives due to the emotional and traumatic experiences that they have encountered elsewhere where they have been rejected. Second, while I've seen no evidence that same-sex marriage threatens the institution of marriage, I have seen considerable evidence that it may indeed strengthen the family. In fact, several of the more stable families in my congregation with some of the most well-grounded, well-adjusted, and well-behaved children that I've ever seen in my 30 years of ministry are families headed by same-sex parents. Furthermore, I've witnessed a greater desire on the part of same-sex couples to adopt African-American children who often languish unwanted and unadopted by heterosexual couples. Hence, I am convinced that the key to a strong family is not the gender of the parents, but rather the love, commitment, and faithfulness they manifest toward each other and, where applicable, toward their children. I have discovered that same-sex loving couples in church and society are not a burden to be tolerated, but a gift to be celebrated. And while they in and of themselves are not a threat to the moral fabric of our society, in my opinion, we do place them in a moral catch-22 when on the one hand we accuse them of promiscuity and on the other deny them the right to marry. After all, this is the 21st century. This is a world in which diversity and that is rich in diversity and pregnant with life-affirming possibilities. And so I believe that this bill that has been introduced by the D.C. City Council is one that will hopefully one day demonstrate to the world that the nation's capital is truly a world-class model of freedom, justice, and equality for all. Finally, I just want to say once again on this issue as to whether or not gay rights is civil rights or what have you, many of Martin Luther King's lieutenants and people who were very close to him or followed him closely in the civil rights movement are very strongly supportive of gay rights, including his late wife, Coretta Scott King. And then you have people like Congressman John Lewis. And in fact, Julian Bond, who was one of the leaders of the civil rights movement, once stated that people of color ought to be flattered that our movement has provided so much inspiration for others. John Lewis said, "I have fought too hard and too long against discrimination based on race and color not to stand up against discrimination based on sexual orientation." So I would say that my support of full marriage equality for the District of Columbia is because it's rooted in my, not only in my passion for social justice, but also in my passion for morality and moral truth. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of love, not hate, a gospel of justice, not injustice, a gospel of inclusion, not exclusion, and a gospel of authenticity, not hypocrisy. Jesus said a lot about hypocrisy in the gospels, but he never said a word about homosexuality or certainly not about same-sex marriage. And with so many heterosexual divorces, broken homes, broken families, broken lives, with things the way they are, I firmly believe that if we're genuinely concerned about protecting the family and preserving the institution of marriage, rather than insist that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid, we ought to insist instead that only marriage between two loving and committed adults is valid. As Howard Thurman, the great African-American preacher, theologian, mystic, and author once declared, "I have always wanted to be me without making it difficult for you to be you."
Great. Thank you so much. Operator, now, if it's all right, I'd like to turn the call over to a question and answer period if there are any questions.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. There are no questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Reverend. Thank you, Jeff Creeley. Thank you, Sam, for joining. And thanks to all others listening in elsewhere. Again, if you have any media inquiries, I can be reached at 202-481-8132 or jrahlan@americanprogress.org. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.